What up, football world? Welcome back to episode 26 of the Air It Out Fantasy Football League podcast, a part of the Air It Out Network. You guys can find us on all platforms, Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Amazon Music, YouTube, Google Podcasts, and iHeartRadio. Please like and follow so that you can get a notification each time we drop new episodes. Also, please remember to rate and review the show. Those reviews are super important. The more ratings and reviews we get, the faster we move up those podcasting charts, and that's certainly what we want. Also, you can show the pod some love by clicking on the support this podcast link in the show description, and your contribution will make it just a little bit easier for us to bring you guys a new show as often as we can. And lastly, follow us on Instagram at Air It Out Network. Joe, what's going on? How was your week?
It's draft day. It's draft day tomorrow.
Draft day is tomorrow.
What does that mean? That means the season is getting closer and closer and closer. I'm so excited.
Yeah.
I hate the downtime. Basketball, I've been watching a tiny bit. Baseball, hockey, never. Come on.
I don't know, but since we've been doing this, it feels like it's not as bad. You know what I mean? Like having to do our research and all that stuff. It doesn't
definitely
feel
keeps you in the season.
Yeah, it keeps you in the season. What's going on?
Yeah.
But before we go into deep football, you had a homework assignment last time. You were supposed to check out Cowboy Carter.
I listened to a little bit of that, and our listeners are going to love this from all last year. I listened to a tiny bit of Taylor Swift's new album, too.
Really?
Yeah.
And I hesitate to ask which you like best.
Beyonce's better. Yeah. All right. I had to know. It was good.
Nice.
Yeah.
Nice. So look, real quick, another thing since we're here, another quick thing in the sports world to pick your brain about, non-football sports world stuff. So the WNBA draft took place a couple weeks ago. Very big night for some really huge names, right? And superstars in the women's basketball league, namely Caitlin Clark.
Sure.
I'm sure you've heard of her, right?
Female Steph Curry. I know exactly who she is, yeah.
So she has now become the face of women's basketball, drafted number one overall by the Indiana Fever, and has been acknowledged by other legends in her sport as someone who has moved the sport forward.
Yes.
Such as like Dawn Staley thanked her for that.
Yeah.
And especially like commercially, right?
Definitely.
Everybody know it. So anyway, I don't know how familiar you are with the Big Three, which is 303 Ice Cube's league.
I know what he offered her.
You know what he offered her.
And what she turned down.
What? Oh, she did turn it down. Okay,
$5 million to go play for Mr. Cube for a short season.
Eight games, $5 million.
I appreciate that she wanted to go to the WNBA and continue to build their brand. She's got a multi-million-dollar thing coming from Nike.
Right.
So she's going to be a millionaire.
Not hurting for the money.
Yeah, no, the money's not a thing.
Yeah.
There have been women who have kind of transcended and built it. I can name Sue Bird, Deanna Taurasi, girls like that, women like that, who are bringing the WNBA along. I think it's growing. The same thing happened with women's soccer in this country.
Yeah.
You know, it was so far behind, and finally they got to pay parity and all that stuff. The WNBA has got a little work to do until it makes as much as the men.
There's a huge gap.
However,
there.
This is a step in the right direction. She's a step in the right direction. I watch ESPN SportsCenter a lot, and she was, you know, the face of it for a couple weeks while the women's tournament was going on. Mm-hmm. So it's a good thing. It is a good thing, and I wish her well. I hope she goes out there and breaks the difference.
Are you glad she turned it down?
I am. I think it's better for the sport. I really do.
I do too. I was very nervous about that, especially, the Big Three itself has had like some financial woes. They were bailed out not long ago by the Dallas Mavericks owner. Mark Cuban. Yeah. So, and then, you know, could you imagine the dissension that would have caused?
Yes.
In that? What are you thinking? Yes. But yeah, I found that really interesting.
It is very interesting.
I'm glad that she did turn it down. I think that's just probably more trouble than it's worth.
She will never worry about money. So I think she did the right thing.
Yeah. Well, you said, it is draft day, right? And that means that tonight is the official start of the NBA draft for the 2024 season. And we're at 5 p.m. Pacific, 8 p.m. Eastern Standard. And of course, we'll be tuned in over the next few days to see how everything plays out. But for now, in our pre-draft show, let's take a look at our picks. That 10 that we did, right?
Yep.
The first 10 off the board. See if you got any last minute changes or if you're sticking to what you said previously.
So I'll put what I had from the show here. I have a couple later as we come through some of the moves and stuff like that, but I'll stick with what I stuck with, but I think there's been a couple changes and I'll get through them as I go with them. I say we go back and forth. We'll do first, you do first, second, third,
cool.
Third. You want to do that?
Yeah.
All right. So I'll go first and I'm going to stick with this one. And I think this is a no brainer. Caleb Williams, Chicago Bears.
Yeah.
I don't think there's any change happening there. I'll stick with that one.
Yeah.
The second one I'm a little bit shakier on now. I have Marvin Harrison going to the Commanders. I don't really agree with that one anymore. Who'd you have number second?
So I had Drake May.
Okay.
Going to the Commanders, which I also changed to.
Two.
So I think they are going to take the Heisman winner and go Jaden Daniels.
I think the same. Yeah. I've changed to Jaden Daniels as well.
Yeah.
All right, third, I'm going to stick with this one. I think Drake May goes to New England.
And that's where I moved down. Okay. Drake May to New England at third. Yep.
Fourth, so. I'm not a really rock solid, but I'll stay there for a little bit because now Marvin Harrison would be available. And if you're going to take a receiver, I think you take him over Malik Nabers, but I had Malik Nabers at fourth going to Arizona.
But I stuck with, I had Marvin Harrison Jr. at fourth for the Cardinals.
I think that's still a thing.
Yeah.
I had fifth, I had Brock Bowers going to the LA Chargers. I'm not so sure that's going to happen anymore.
I have Malik Nabers going to the Chargers.
Yeah.
And the only way this doesn't happen is if, so the Raiders had their eye on Jaden Daniels, right? They talked a lot about wanting him. Moving up.
Yeah.
But I don't see how. I think the highest they could get up would be fourth with the Chargers.
They'd have to be all in pretty much and then have to get the Commanders on board
So it's highly unlikely. But yeah, so if they stay there, the Chargers, I think they'll go Malik Nabers.
Yeah. Next one, so six, I had Rome Odunze, the really good wide receiver going to the New York Giants. Mm-hmm. That could still be a thing. I would be surprised at all if the Giants, we could actually cover them a little later in the show. The NFC East, I wouldn't be surprised if they went receiver.
They are not going to go receiver.
What do you think the Giants do?
They're going to take that tackle. They're going to go Joe Alt.
Joe Alt, yeah. Mm-hmm. Who I have at seventh going to the Tennessee Titans. So you at seventh have?
At seventh, wait, are we on seven?
Just went six to seven.
Four, five, six. Yeah, okay. Yeah. So I stuck with Dallas Turner.
Dallas Turner, that's a good one.
Dallas Turner to the Titans.
Okay, you can go first on eighth. Who do you got? Eighth.
I changed this one. So I had Le'Atu Latu, I think it's how you pronounce him. And I replaced him with Byron Murphy, who's just slightly ahead of him, the tackle for at Atlanta, just because of the medical history. I learned a little bit more about his situation. I didn't know he's from around here, too. Le'Atu, he's from Sacramento.
Yeah.
And
UCLA guy, right?
UCLA guy. Well, he transferred there. He had some medical issues at first and kind of semi-retired and then unretired. And I don't know. So I think that if they could choose, they're, in terms of rankings, those who are fairly close, I think they go with the guy without the medical history. So I went off up to Byron Murphy.
I could definitely see that. I had Jaden Daniels going to Atlanta. I'm not very strong on that anymore at all because Atlanta's pretty locked in. They have Kirk Cousins, although he's 35 or 36. So I think they stick with him for a couple years and don't take a quarterback. So Atlanta will probably go differently.
Yeah.
I would expect Atlanta to take some. This is a very good draft for defensive pass rushers as well. Mm-hmm. I can see them taking defense because their offense is already pretty loaded.
I think they probably will take a quarterback just a
eventually.
Little later.
Yeah, eventually. At that age, you kind of have to think about 2 years from now. But Atlanta could surprise people this year, but we'll talk about them a little more later. All right, number nine, who do you have going to the Chicago Bears?
I think if they stay there, I'm saying J.C. Latham.
I took Troy Fontenot, the big lineman. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And number 10, last one we'll cover here.
Brock Bowers to the Jets.
Okay, I had Brian Thomas going to the Jets. We'll see. That might change. Yeah.
Yep.
All right, that's our 1 through 10 initially with some slight changes in there. Since we're doing a lot of draft stuff, I thought before we got into the headlines and the news, I thought it'd be fun for us and our listeners to recap the top wide receiver, quarterback, and running back taken highest in the draft starting in 2015.
Okay.
Ready? So going back about 8, 9 years now. So a lot of these names are still around. We'll start with the first overall pick in 2015, quarterback one, Jameis Crableg Winston. Drafted by Tampa Bay. He's currently with Cleveland. Good career back there.
He moved to Cleveland.
He's at Cleveland now.
Oh, I didn't know that. Where did I miss that? Okay. So he is backing up Deshaun Watson now.
Yeah.
Okay. I think it was promising at first. I think he has the real desire to be a starting quarterback in the league. I just don't think it's going
to. He was fun to watch as a gunslinger when he was putting up all those touchdowns and interceptions and yards once upon a time.
Well, I think the problem is the touchdowns just never pulled away from the interceptions. They always
greater interceptions. Yeah. All right. So in that same draft, number four overall, Amari Cooper was drafted by the then Oakland Raiders, and he's currently with Cleveland. And he had a fantastic year last year. So Amari Cooper's still doing pretty good.
Yep.
We'll have a strong career, I think, and finish it out. All right, so the highest drafted running back in that class was one Todd Gurley, taken by the then St. Louis Rams, now retired.
Yes, untimely retirement. Yeah, I think he had some sort of
knee arthritis.
Issue. Yeah, knees, right. Yeah. But he was phenomenal to watch when he was at the top of his game.
He was on the top of the NFL world, sort of this time, 15, 16, 17, one of that nonstop Georgia running back farm that came and went. A fantastic career, ended too short. I think he would have been one of the greatest.
Yeah.
You know, if he could have kept going, but you know, you got to keep up with their health. All right, that's it for 15. Here comes 2016. The number one overall again was a quarterback. This time one Jared Goff by the Los Angeles Rams.
Nice.
Currently, everyone knows where he is. Currently Detroit? In Detroit, mm-hmm. trying to win a Super Bowl. Good career, yes. bad career?
I think he's kind of middle of the road career. I don't think he gets that Super Bowl in Detroit, unfortunately. I think eventually they will probably. This is
funny you said that. We're going to talk about Detroit a little later.
Yeah.
I think a very good career. I think they kind of pinned the tail on him a little bit in L.A. when they could not win the Super Bowl and they
Jeff
shipped
Fisher.
Him off.
Yeah.
And then they brought in Matthew Stafford, of course, mm-hmm. win the Super Bowl and made him look a little funky. A good career. He definitely needs a ring to finish it off. Mm-hmm. Passionate guy. I liked what Detroit did last year. And again, we'll talk about that a little later.
Yeah.
Okay, next one. Number four overall in that 2016 draft. One Ezekiel Elliott, taken by the Dallas Cowboys. Mm-hmm. Currently a free agent.
Right.
With rumors that he might go back to Dallas.
Which is crazy, but he had a pretty good career. I think that when Dallas let him go, it was time, unfortunately. Yeah. I think that they have, I don't know what the plan is. I know we'll talk about them a little later on,
yes,
too. Right. I have no idea what they're doing around the running back situation and some of the other skill players.
We will get into them. He was serviceable in New England. They used him. He had one or two good games. We had him on our waiver mm-hmm. wire towards the end of the year a couple times.
But, I mean, a really steep decline from the previous year.
They ran him really, really hard for the first 5 years of his career in Dallas. And he was a big part of their offense. Then he moved on. And yeah, it's definitely, running back's hard. I mean, you're involved in every play. You know, either you're blocking somebody, you're receiving, or you're running, or you're doing something. So it's a tough position. But I could see him in the NFL again though next year. Okay, number 18th
for sure.
overall was wide receiver Corey Coleman by Cleveland. Who is Corey Coleman,
right.
you ask?
Right.
He is now he was drafted by Cleveland. He's no longer in the NFL. He now plays, last record I could found, the Michigan Panthers of the United States Football League, the USFL.
Oh, wow. Okay.
But he's their leading receiver in the USFL. But I have no idea who he is.
Right. Yeah.
I've been watching the NFL religiously for as long as I can remember, and I do not remember him at all. So
wow.
I don't know exactly what happened, but come and gone. We don't
see too much. That's got to happen way more than you think.
He was a Blitnikoff winner. He was that's the best receiver in college. I don't know what
really?
Happened. Yeah, who knows? Strange. Okay, on to 2017. Here we are. So second overall in the draft was one quarterback, Mitchell Trubisky by Chicago. That will forever be a head scratcher why Chicago did what they did there to go for a guy who only really played for 1 year in college and wasn't even that great. He is currently backing up one Josh Allen in Buffalo.
Mm-hmm.
And the Buffalo fans are hoping nothing ever happens
right.
to Josh Allen.
Yeah.
Because that would be pretty bad.
I'm sure. Mitch Trubisky's probably hoping nothing ever happens to Josh Allen.
He collects a paycheck, sits back there, watches the show happen, and stay away. He didn't do much in Pittsburgh. I don't expect him to do much anywhere else. So, all right. So fifth overall in that draft was one wide receiver, Corey Davis by Tennessee. He didn't do very much for Tennessee.
Remember Corey Davis? Yep.
He's currently a New York Jet. He's not there. That's Garrett Wilson is their starter.
He was a bigger guy.
He's a bigger guy. Yeah, he sure is. And he's still playing. He'll probably be the three for the Jets the way things are working out. Mike Williams, Garrett Wilson. You know, Garrett Wilson one, Williams two. Mm-hmm. He'll be three. So maybe it's like a slot kind of guy or a fill-in kind of guy.
Maybe but T. Higgins will land there if he gets that trade.
That's good. Could definitely
we'll
happen.
See.
The Jets are definitely full now, all guns and all stops to get to the Super Bowl next year. Okay, so eighth overall in that draft, you might have heard of this guy. One running back, Christian McCaffrey, drafted by Carolina, currently with the 49ers.
Okay.
I think he will be a first ballot Hall of Famer, no
Absolutely.
Doubt there. So he's safe. All right, so we'll go on to the next year. 2018, first overall, one quarterback, Baker Mayfield, Heisman winner by the Cleveland Browns. Cleveland, we've seen a theme here with Cleveland taking a lot.
Yeah.
Currently with Tampa Bay, of course. What do you think? Continues the resurgence of his career he had last year?
Continues. I think sometimes it takes a little longer for some people to get their feet underneath them and get going. And so Baker Mayfield actually had a couple good seasons early on,
too. In Cleveland. They were competitive,
right. That's right. And so, I think he has had a promising career. I think it's a bright future for him. He bet on himself. It worked out. He got a deal extended with him.
Yeah, sure
with
did.
With the Bucks. So, I like it.
I think that division got harder. I think Atlanta is going to be a very difficult team. If they can help their defense a little bit, Atlanta is going to be a playoff team for sure. New Orleans, they have the pieces there-ish, and Tampa does too. So it's going to be a competitive division. All right, I think he has a good year
Who's
as well.
Quarterbacking in New Orleans?
Good question.
That
Derek Carr?
No, I don't.
Yeah,
that.
So yeah. I don't know. I guess we'll see. All right. So second overall in that same draft, heard of this guy, Saquon Barkley by the New York Giants.
Nice.
Currently with their rivals, the Philadelphia Eagles. Mm-hmm. We'll cover that way more in depth later in this episode. All right. So 24th overall in that same 2018 draft, one Mr. DJ Moore, who's now part of that unbelievable Chicago offense they're building
that's
up there.
Coming up. Yep.
We'll see about that. Very serviceable. Played really well for Carolina and had a good year. Could last year with Chicago. A couple breakout games. It was difficult there, the Justin Fields stuff, the poor offensive line play. But he's definitely a first-round receiver and still doing good. All right, so we'll go on to the next year, 2019. The first overall, one quarterback, Kyler Murray. Arizona, still on the same team.
Still on the same team. So far, so good, I guess. He's missed a little bit of time with some injuries.
Get that bad ACL.
Otherwise, I mean, yeah. he had some pretty good games, though.
Yeah.
He did really well.
Arizona came on to the end of last year.
Especially, you know, I think the knock was his size.
Yeah.
And so he came out and he's a running quarterback, super fast. He's done pretty well.
They beat Pittsburgh in Pittsburgh last year, and Pittsburgh's a playoff team, remember, at the end of the year. Mm-hmm. They beat the Eagles at the end of the year. No one saw that coming.
That was weird, yeah.
Yeah, so, I mean, they had some strange wins at the end of the year there. With a team with really, who's there? And Trey McBride.
Connor, Kyler Murray, yeah, right?
That's really it. So, but they managed to get the
wins. Well, they had Hollywood Brown, too, at that
yeah,
time.
Yeah, Marquise, he actually shows up on our list here in just a second. Actually, very soon. 24th overall in that same draft in 2019 was one Josh Jacobs by the now Las Vegas Raiders.
24th overall. Nice.
Who is currently with Green Bay in his first year go-round. You and I are both kind of head-scratching about Green Bay and their running backfield and how it's going to work out next year. Green Bay showed us a lot of stuff last year. They came on very strong. We're fans of their quarterback. We're fans of what they're doing. That's probably a good move for him. Expect good things out of him. He's had a good career when he wasn't hurt.
Had a really good career. I like what Green Bay is doing. I like their pretty promising, I think, for next season. I'm looking forward to seeing them play.
Me too. I think that division is going to be them. I think they're still going to be the best team in that division, actually. Better than Minnesota, better than Chicago. Detroit. Detroit's a question mark.
Chicago's building Detroit. I don't know. Detroit, I like what Detroit's doing, too. So they just extended. You know, I'm sure we'll get into that one, too.
Yeah, that's coming. Yeah. All right. So right behind him, the very next slot, 25th overall was one wide receiver, Hollywood Marquise Brown by the Baltimore Ravens. Mm-hmm. And we talked about moving on up. You went from you got drafted by a very good team. You went to a not-so-good team, and now you're with the Super Bowl champs.
Okay.
So life is pretty good. He will probably be, however Kelsey works out, he will be the one-ish. And Rashee Rice, it's kind of hard to figure out exactly how it's going to work
out. What's going to work out with him? So as we're going through this, so we're saying Hollywood Brown was what, the first receiver taken?
So these are the first in their positions. So first quarterback taken, first wide receiver taken, first running back taken.
First in their position taken. Yeah. And that was what, 25, you said, overall?
25 overall was Marquise Brown by Baltimore.
Yeah. So I think that at 25, I think he may have
not been worth it. 25 is high.
Yeah.
That's your first pick for that team. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's the Ravens' first pick that year.
Yeah, I think he underachieved.
He's not a name I think of. What about you as far as, I'm building my wide receiver draft strategy.
Right, no, exactly. And that's what I mean. He may have,
I'll look around, I'll say, AJ Brown's here, Tyreek Hill is here, Diggs is here, he's here, but I don't ever think Hollywood Brown's over here.
Yeah. I think that comes down to especially in fantasy when everybody's hurt. You're like, who's still around?
Yeah.
Who's on the
or that
waiver
last,
wire?
Sort of 10 or 12 rounds.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Right. 12 rounds. Who's still out there?
I need somebody for my bench. Yeah. Yep. Yeah. And that's kind of where he ends up. That's 100% accurate. All right. That's it for 2019. On to 2020. You're going to know this name too. First overall pick by the Cincinnati Bengals, one quarterback, Joe Burrow.
Mm-hmm.
Had the injury bug a little bit. However, took his Cincinnati Bengals through the Super Bowl a couple years ago.
Yep. I like Joe Burrow a lot.
I think he has
one of the best.
A tons of tools around him, one of the best in the league. If you can stay healthy, that Cincinnati offense is as good as any in the league. Expect big things from him next year.
Yep.
Yeah, in a competitive division. All right. Next one, 12th overall wide receiver Henry Ruggs by the Las Vegas Raiders. For our listeners who do not know, young man who made a mistake. He's currently incarcerated. His time in the NFL is over. His time with football is probably over. Made a mistake. Happens. Yeah. Young, and things happen. All right, on to the next one. 32nd overall, so at the very end of the first round, one running back, Clyde Edwards-Helaire by Kansas City, and he's still there.
Yeah. 32nd overall?
32nd overall.
Last pick in the first round. Mm-hmm. Okay, I guess so. Maybe that lines up a little bit.
Yuck. Yeah, terrible. I don't know. Wasted pick.
Do you think a wasted pick? No.
He didn't even play for them last year, really.
So what is this, 2020?
He was drafted in 2020.
2020? Yeah. It's 2024. Clyde Edwards-Helaire had a first. I think he did pretty. He ran pretty well for them that first.
And he had some good receiving yards.
Yeah, he did.
He's got good hands. I'll give him that. Yeah.
I just remember him being a thing in fantasy.
Yeah.
So I think he put up some numbers early on in
on
his
my
career.
Bench last year. Didn't do much, but they've definitely moved away from him. They drafted a young man out of Rutgers.
Pretty fast, though. It may have been like maybe a year and a half, season and a half or so.
Yeah, I wouldn't be surprised if he moved on. His career's not over, but the first round pick, I'm going to say that's kind of the bust.
Almost second, though. Come on.
Yeah, we're pretty close. All right, that wraps up that year. On to 20, another first overall. We're seeing a theme with quarterbacks being taken first overall. One quarterback, Trevor Lawrence by the Jacksonville Jaguars. What do we think? Worth the number one overall pick?
No, I'm
not going to get too deep in this. This is that class that everyone beats up on because it's him, it's Zach Wilson, it's Kenny Pickett. It's that class. It's like everyone's like, ugh. But he was the number one.
See, you know what? I feel like there's so much pressure. Yeah. When you are ranked that high and all these expectations, and sometimes it just takes a little while to get your footing. It doesn't mean that you're going to suck forever, or it doesn't mean that so Trevor is of the names that you said so far, he's the best.
Yeah.
But I think that number one pick hasn't lived up to it quite. Yeah, to a number one pick quite yet.
I'd put him even-ish with Kyler. I wouldn't put him up in Joe Burrow category. But he's and it's still time. Mm-hmm. He's still so young.
Right.
So, I mean, and I think they need a true number one, like big name receiver in Jacksonville. He doesn't have that. So
And then Calvin Ridley just left, right?
Yeah, he didn't really have the huge year. You know, the kind of number one true stud wide receiver he doesn't have.
Mm-hmm.
But it's still time. Like, this is only a couple years ago he was drafted first. Yeah. All right, fifth overall, an absolute stud, dominant at what he does when he's healthy. Wide receiver, fifth taken overall, Ja'Marr Chase by Cincinnati.
Mm.
I mean, a no-brainer in college, a no-brainer in the pros. He is who he is. You draft him in the first round or second round of your fantasy drafts.
Yes.
All right, next one, 24th overall, running back, Najee Harris by the Pittsburgh Steelers.
Ooh.
A little bit of a head-scratcher here. Yeah. What do we think?
24th overall. I think he hasn't He's underachieved for that as well, for a first round.
Absolutely dominant. He's another local guy. He's from either Pittsburgh or Antioch or something like that. Yeah. So a Bay Area-ish guy. Went to Alabama, was dominant in Alabama, helped him win, you know, national title down there and stuff. Hasn't really panned out. However, I'll give him this as a caveat. They haven't had a true quarterback you had to worry about in Pittsburgh. Now, if Russ goes there and he spreads the field out and he has room, then you'll have a real opportunity.
And I like that one too, that timeshare.
Yeah, I like it as well.
And that's, I want to say Jalen Williams, but I don't think.
No, Jaden. It's definitely Jalen Warren. Like Warren. Yeah. He's pretty good too.
Yeah.
It's not over him. You know, he needs to have a real breakout season though, I think. All right, so that's it for 2021. On to 2022. Eighth overall was a wide receiver this time, so no quarterback first taken. Drake London by Atlanta.
Oh, Drake London.
I think him and
he's
Kyle
getting there.
Pitts will love that Kirk Cousins is there. They finally have a quarterback and get on the ball. That Atlanta offense could be very, very, very good, and we'll talk about it a little bit later in the show.
Right. We've been waiting for Kyle Pitts for a while.
He was supposed to be the
tight end, the breakout. I can't count the times I've drafted him.
It's going to be this year. It's not going to happen, really. Yeah. So. All right, so Drake London, 20th overall. We have a quarterback now. One, Kenny Pickett by the Pittsburgh Steelers. He is currently a Philadelphia Eagle, so he's moved to the other side of Pennsylvania, where he will back up, and like we talked about earlier, hopefully he never gets
on
the field.
Which is weird.
Yeah, he can sit behind Jalen Hurts, and hopefully nothing, and that's that. So we move to the second round, that we actually got our running back, and it was a steal, in my opinion. One of your personal favorites, I know it is, from the University. No, Iowa State, not Iowa. Iowa State, running back, Breece Hall.
Yes.
So the Jets, actually, that was a mask and a gun and a whole job to get him there because he's a fantastic
I like Breece Hall a lot. Yeah. I think that I have very high expectations this season coming up for the Jets.
Yes, and him too. Yeah, he's been pretty durable too.
He's been durable. He's been okay. I think he missed a few games.
He did. We'll run that stuff.
But yeah, he's been pretty consistent overall.
The offensive firepower that the Jets have, if they can move the ball around and not put all the weight on his shoulder like they did after Aaron Rodgers got hurt, it could be a really good year for Breece. All right, so that's it for 2022. On to 2023, last year we'll look at here. It's the first overall pick, one, and he took a lot of beating last year because he had no help. Quarterback, Bryce Young, Carolina first overall.
Yeah. Oh, man. Bryce Young. You know what? Another one that, I mean, there's a tremendous amount of pressure. And then if you can imagine being drafted alongside your best friend who goes into a totally different setup in a totally different system than you and has all the success in the world and becomes a almost immediate contender. Can you, I mean, I just, how much deeper is the hole going to get for this young man?
He has no help. When I look at him, you and I talk about, we're big fans of Tom Brady. We talk about his philosophy and what he talks about a lot. He's the poster boy of what he was talking about last year about putting the young kid out there to get him killed.
Yeah.
That's him. Yeah. So somebody didn't have the tools around them, wasn't prepared for the speed of the game, and the Carolina said, okay, get out there, good luck. That Tepper guy, whoever, who likes to throw beers at people, said, get out there. And
I know.
Good luck.
Yeah, so it's going to be a while, though, and I'm just hoping that...
It's too early to tell.
It's too early to tell, but I'm hoping that it's not one of those... I'm hoping it's not a Justin Fields situation where they give up too soon.
Yeah, no, and I don't think they should. I mean, Carolina's got nothing... They're going to be a bottom dweller again, really. There's no chance that they're a Super Bowl contender or something like that. So give the young man time to build in a division where they'll probably be last again. But it'll be a good experience, though. All right. But you never know. It could surprise us. All right. So eighth overall is you had him last year, and I like him quite a bit, too, out of Texas. Eighth overall was the running back Bijan Robinson by the Atlanta Falcons.
Mm-hmm.
First running back taken last year.
Yep.
Had a good year.
Very good year.
Yeah.
Very much so worth it. As well as Gibbs. I think they both did pretty well.
Yep.
Matched. Good match for where they were drafted, I think.
I think that's a perfect spot.
Yep.
I would be happy to have him on my fantasy team next year. So, very, very good player. The next one, the 20th overall pick was wide receiver. He didn't really show up. I picked him kind of as a steal in our draft, in our league. It didn't really turn out to be much. Wide receiver, Jaxon Smith-Njigba by Seattle.
Mm-hmm.
There was just poor play overall by Seattle in general last year. They didn't really have a very good offense. They weren't moving the ball around well. Geno Smith didn't have the year he had the year before. So,
And then, he had the year before. They're scheming for him now, so it's a little bit more difficult. And, I mean, it's a rookie season, too. So, yeah.
Seattle's going through some rebuilding. There are pieces there that are good. They kind of got dependent on some of the old stuff and did the same thing over. And you can't just feed the ball to DK over and over and over.
Right.
You just can't do that. And that's kind of what they were trying to do last year. Yep. So, again, another one, we'll see. You know, had kind of a slow start, but we'll see. All right, that's it for our recap of the last one. Most of those guys are still around, and it's time to see. Now we'll move on to headlines and news. A big one. So the Cowboys have picked up a fifth-year rookie option on one Micah Parsons.
Good, yep.
Good move?
Very good move, yeah.
So pretty much the stud of what he does. You know, talk about him and, you know, in the top five or six of the DN/linebackers in the league. Yeah.
So they have to. So we keep hearing, I know we'll talk about this a little bit later too, with Jerry Jones being like, we're all in. So, I mean, I would expect them to do nothing less than Micah Parsons for sure.
24 years old, been in the league since being drafted in 2021. He was 12th overall by the Cowboys. He had, so far in his career, 213 combined tackles, 40 and a half sacks. It's a lot.
Yeah.
He's a cornerstone to their defense.
Yeah.
So, I mean... Between him and the other Diggs, of course, when he comes back healthy next year, that's Dallas in a nutshell.
And the guy that filled in for him who had a great, who filled in for Diggs, the other corner.
Yeah, had a great year. Yeah. Dallas, they managed to do well with defense. They're well coached and they do well with their defenses. All right. So that's it for him. So the next one is the Lions have agreed to two contracts here. We'll go over two.
Okay.
The first one was a 4-year, $112 million extension with offensive tackle Penei Sewell.
Mm-hmm.
You guys didn't watch the Lions last year. They were the surprise team, of course. He is stud offensive tackle on that team. You know, he opens the holes for their running backs, protects Goff, all that good stuff, a big part of that team. And that's why he got the big contract. Definitely deserved. The next one, it's been all the headlines for the past few days, a 4-year, $120 million extension for, of course, another favorite of ours, Amon-Ra St. Brown. He is now the highest paid wide receiver in the NFL.
$77 million guaranteed.
Two questions here. Does he deserve the money? That's first.
Yes. I think a well-deserved payday. So he's coming off of a career season, right?
Yeah.
And that was, 1,500 yards, averaging 94.7 yards a game, a whopping 164 targets, 119 receptions. That is 119 points off the bat if you're in a PPR league.
He's a go-get-him fantasy player for sure.
Fun fact, he's kind of got the chip on his shoulder. He knows every single wide receiver that was drafted ahead of him.
Memorized. I watched his dad trained him. Like, he was a weight guy, training weights and stuff.
Like a Mr. Universe.
Yeah, he's got a brother who plays. Yeah. It's really interesting to watch. Yeah, but he still named him off. Everybody was drafted. He's like, I'm going to pass them. And deserving of the contract? Absolutely. I am on board with him. He's a fantastic player. I'd be happy to have him.
And I think the energy that he gives off, too, is not one that... will become complacent, like with the contract, not to say he seems like a true competitor, like he's always working, always getting better. So I like this for him and for Detroit.
Okay, so now I'm going to dig a little bit deeper into Detroit. I know we're not covering the NFC North right now, but we're going to talk about this a little bit. They were 12-5 last year.
Yeah.
One game away from reaching the Super Bowl. They just had two huge signings. And the game they led, you can talk about Dan the Gambler, Campbell, and all that stuff. You can go over and over that situation about what happened in Santa Clara last January. Mm-hmm. Do they get back to there? Does Detroit the same? So 12-5, do they get back to the NFC Championship or better? Do they get to the Super Bowl? Or do they not get
to either? I think so. I think they at least get back there.
To the NFC Championship.
Yeah. And what's that? What's that division? Detroit?
The Chicago, who I think they'll take Caleb, but I don't care who you are. No quarterback is coming to the league and turn a team around from what they are, from where
Chicago.
Green Bay will be another playoff team, in my opinion. Green Bay got a little bit better with Josh Jacobs and stuff. Yeah. They lost a little bit on their defense, but they're still good. The Vikings are helmless. They have no quarterback. Mm-hmm. They have the best receiver in the NFL, but somebody's got to throw them the ball. Right. So... and then their running game's kind of a mess in Minnesota. Defense is okay. They should win that division.
Yeah.
There's no reason they shouldn't. So
between them and Green Bay, I think, you know, Jordan Love.
Yeah, they're making good moves in the right direction, Green Bay. I would not be surprised if Green Bay was a 10 or 11 win team again.
So I think they get there or better. They at least get back to that.
So one last question. I think I already know the answer. Is Dan Campbell the right guy for Detroit to take them to the Super Bowl? And win the Super Bowl. He made a couple of young guy mistakes last year, a couple of gambles that we scratched our head about after.
You know what? I thought, I'm sure he's gotten Coach of the Year at some point. Maybe I missed it, but I thought he should have gotten it last year too. Dan Campbell has done wonders with the Detroit Lions in a very short period.
That team won zero games once upon a time.
Right. So I think from the time we saw them on Hard Knocks, they've come, they're the new America's team.
They're the new America's team. Thank God.
So, yep.
Jerry Jones
I like Dan Campbell quite a bit. So, even with the gamble, I know. That was the soul.
There's a couple of question marks in my mind there. If they had done the other thing or just taken the 3 points or something like this, they'd have won that game in my mind. But, hey, you know, what happened, and that's that. He is the right guy. I like Detroit a lot. I wouldn't be surprised at all. They'd definitely be in the mix. But then San Francisco is going to be tough again. Dallas, you know, we'll talk about them a little more in just a second. There are still very good teams still floating around the NFC.
Yeah.
So there'll be competition, but they'll be right there with everybody else. Next one in the news and headlines. One, Mr. Bill Belichick was reported to be a regular on our rival podcast from going forward, the Manning Cast. Do you want to listen to Bill Belichick directly live on Monday Night Footballs with the Manning Brothers?
You know, I like this idea, though. So the Manning Brothers, I think they add a little bit. It'll be lighter.
It's definitely fun. They make the show fun.
They'll make it fun. Mm-hmm. And then so we're getting the privilege of listening to Bill Belichick dissect live Monday Night Football.
So you got a 70-something-year-old who's got probably 50 years of experience in the NFL to discuss and break down games.
I think the interesting part will just be him juxtaposed against
those two. How serious and stoic he is all the time versus, you know.
Might see a whole different side of him. This is the first time in 50 years that he's not going to be on the sideline.
No, nothing on the sidelines. That's just
crazy. That's half a century. Just that's crazy.
Regular on the Manning Cast, the podcast one time.
Yeah. I think it's good for him. I think that this is a slow step towards his retirement. It's like a little, you know what I mean? So he interviewed with a bunch of teams for a head coaching job. Everybody passed on him. So this is kind of a slowly backing out the door type thing.
Are you going to listen?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I like the Manning Cast. It's pretty funny. So I will listen. I'd listen.
Okay, listeners, after you listen to ours,
listen because you got to watch. It's on TV. Okay. So yeah.
All right. Well, I'll check it out too.
Yeah.
All right. So that's it for the headlines and news. We'll go over to trades and movement. We had a fun one. Backed up Joe Burrow last year. Jake Browning. Everybody really liked him. He signed a 2-year deal to back up Joe Burrow going forward. Mm-hmm. I think if Joe Burrow was to get injured again, it's happened a couple times. Right. He is a very serviceable backup.
I thought Jake Browning would actually pursue a starting gig someplace.
Yeah, he had a really good year last year.
He did. So I'm surprised at that. Or maybe they made him probably a competitive offer. They need him just
backup
in case
offer,
and we see that. But I thought he'd be more aggressive about pursuing a starting job someplace.
Yeah.
So he did really well.
I think so too. I think that's a good situation with a good team and a good coach and somebody good to play behind. So and if he does get out there, he's certainly got the weapons to throw to. With Chase and Higgins and those other guys who are still there. So, a good offense to be a part of. All right, so we're going to talk about one, Mr. Zach Wilson, formerly of the New York Jets, now traded to the Broncos for just a 6th-round pick. Okay. He was the number two overall pick by the New York Jets in 2021. So that's pretty dang high. Mm-hmm. We're going to break down the Broncos here for a second. You ready for this? Okay, so the Broncos now have at their quarterback, it'll be three-headed if they all make it into the season. Jarrett Stidham, if you remember him, he played for New England, the Las Vegas Raiders, and is now at Denver. In his career, he has 1,422 yards, 8 touchdowns, and 8 INTs. Ben DiNucci, who is that, you ask?
I don't, right.
He played for Dallas for a little bit. He's played in 3 games in his career.
Okay.
Not stats even worth writing out.
All right.
And now Mr. Wilson, who has 3 years in New York with 6,293 yards, 23 touchdowns, 25 INTs. All right, I'll start with the question. Can Sean Payton find gold with any of these three?
So, no, I don't think so. But I think, where are they in the draft?
Denver, right in the middle-ish.
Right in the middle, yeah. They're definitely going to draft a quarterback.
Yeah, like over third.
So, and you know what? Let's dial it back just a little bit. I wouldn't be surprised if Zach Wilson finds some success there. Just, I think that... I think that Sean Payton will probably be, well, for starters, I think he just never liked Russell Wilson off the bat.
Right.
So, and I think that this is a little, you know, it may feel more like his choice, his team. And so he's more flexible, more pliable in working with a young Zach Wilson. And maybe we see some success out of
Zach Wilson. So we have different types here. We have three young men, young guys in their mid-20s versus Russell Wilson, mid-30s, very accomplished, Super Bowl, all that stuff.
Exactly. Still very pliable.
So I'll give you Russell Wilson's numbers for last year. You and I have both talked about Russ quite a bit. 3,070 yards passing, 26 TDs, and only 8 INTs. A very good season.
Absolutely. So. I don't. We talked about it a whole lot over the season. Money. I don't know why. Yeah. Well, it was the money and just what turned out to be, I think, very just unscrupulous business dealings, if that was what.
Yeah, he got job. There's no doubt about it. Know, they didn't want to pay him.
Yeah.
And they will pay the price. Denver's not going to be a good team next year.
No.
No, they're just not. So let's get back to Zach.
Okay.
Zach for just a second. Played his college ball at BYU, right? Mm-hmm. So he's used to that part of the world, the country a little bit. There's some talk that maybe going back to the mountains will help him a little bit. I don't think so. I don't think so. Sometimes the speed of the game is just too much. And I think that's what, you know, I was a Jets fan for a long time. And I watched him play quite a bit, but he's had 3 years. I don't, you know. I mean,
three years, it used to take like 5. Seriously.
Yeah. But come on. We're going to go back to that Brady thing again. They threw him out there way too early.
Yeah.
They're like, okay, you're a number two pick overall, get out there and play. And it was just way too much, way, way too much.
I think you got to give rookie quarterbacks at least 5 years.
Do you see him starting for Denver week 1?
Out of the names you just mentioned, yes.
So over,
he's definitely the starter.
Stidham played a little bit. He's never been great. I remember in New England.
He played for Oakland too. Was Jarrett Stidham in Oakland?
No, he played for Vegas.
Vegas.
Same idea. Yeah, the other Raiders. Yeah, same thing. I like the idea. First of all, Sean Payton for me is kind of like Belichick. They kind of found themselves with a generational quarterback. There's only so many Drew Breeses. There's only so many Tom Brady's. And Drew Brees made him look very good. And that defense was very good. You remember that?
It's easy to let something like that go to your head, too.
And I think that was part of it.
Yeah.
If he can take one of these three guys and turn them into a winning quarterback and turn that into a winning franchise with those guys, with really just Cortland Sutton and just a guy and some other guys out there. It's just Cortland Sutton, really. So
There's no way.
Yeah. No, they will. The Chargers aren't going to be so great either. They will be a bottom dweller in that division.
Yeah.
You know, the Raiders can be a fight. It's going to be a fight. If the Raiders get a quarterback, they'll be good. But Kansas City's going to win that division easily next year.
The Raiders, I think they're good. The Raiders pick at 13. They have a very good if they don't move up, they still have a very good chance of getting a good quarterback in the draft.
If the Raiders get a serviceable quarterback who doesn't turn the ball over a ton and can get the ball down the field to their playmakers, they will be the second best team in that division, in my opinion. So the Chargers have a long way. The Chargers are totally rebuilding.
That's the Chiefs. So
the Chiefs are day in and we're catching them. They're still going to be good next year. All right, that's it for trades and movement. So you're ready to jump back over to the NFC this week.
Yes.
Let's take a good look at the NFC East. And this is going to be a good one, guys, because some very significant movement and happenings have taken place in this division. Sure have this offseason. Let's kick it off with the guys who finished first in the division. Jerry Jones' own, the Dallas Cowboys, finished the year at 12-5. One word to describe the past season, Dallas Cowboys, go.
Potential.
Underachievers.
Underachievers, that's a good one, too.
Yeah. Why? Because they, again, did not show up in the playoffs.
It's a meaner way of saying potential.
It's true.
But, I think the doubt, for me, in going into their best attributes, right?
Yeah.
So, elite O-line, right?
Yes, I put that on there too. So offensive line play is their best attribute.
Absolutely. So
Terrence Steele, Zach Martin, Tyler Smith are all fantastic linemen. High draft picks. Zach Martin's probably one of the best in the league. Terrence Steele's coming on. He was a first rounder. Mm-hmm. And Tyler Smith too. So, I mean, they've been open for a long time.
They drafted all those guys, right?
They did draft all of those guys.
So I'm just saying, good enough for just a serviceable running back to be successful behind.
Tony Pollard didn't have – he had a 1,000-yard year, but it wasn't a good year. So.
No, but I'm just – had a 1,000-yard year.
Not having a good year.
Not having a good year. And probably has a whole lot to do with that line that he's running behind. So
always.
There isn't – so if I could venture a guess, it'll be there isn't a big enough – there isn't a reason to, like, throw all the money at the running back position when you've got an O-line.
No.
So now they do have some holes they got to plug now
this
season because they had some movement take place before this past season. That was for sure. The Jets took one of their linemen and then another – and the Commanders.
The Commanders took one of them.
Took one, too.
True.
So the center, I think.
Yeah.
So, yeah. But, yeah, that's definitely their best –
yeah.
Their best attribute.
I agree. I wrote the same exact thing. Yeah. And I put, so for their worst attribute, I put linebacker. They need to get Micah Parsons some help to pressure on the quarterback. Okay. The guy's been in the middle, hurt a fair amount in the 6 years in the league. It was Leighton Vander Esch, but he's now retired due to his neck. They need to get a true. They have a second. They have a D tackle there. His name escapes me. He was really good. I should have written it down. Who had a he made plays last year. So that definitely helped. Micah Parsons a little bit, but they need defense is what they need. Especially the linebacker and D tackle position. What'd you have?
So I actually said the run game. They now that they gotten rid of Tony Pollard.
That's their worst attribute.
That is now their worst attribute. So they parted ways with Zeke in 2022, which I think was the right decision, having now traded away Tony Pollard, which I don't think was the best move, right?
No.
He was coming back off of 1,000-yard seasons with them. So it was kind of it's puzzling why they would do that, averaging about 4 yards a carry.
Yeah.
So I don't know what the thinking was there. So as it stands right now, one Rico
Dwaddle. Deuce Vaughn and Malik Davis. Those are the three. I put it down as, their biggest need is running back.
So what's the plan here? I don't know.
That's a mess. None of those guys are starters. I put it as the biggest need is running back, and those guys aren't going to do it. So either they pick somebody up from – they should have gone after Derrick Henry or something like that, but they didn't.
They don't have any money.
Yeah, they don't have any money. That'll do it. No money.
Right. But I also put for their biggest need and the solid number two across from CeeDee Lamb. They need a solid number two. Brandon Cooks is a journeyman whose best days are probably behind him. I think we could agree. And I think they're going to, they need a for sure, like a, just somebody to help.
Draft outlook real quick, and then I'll get into the movement. Draft outlook real quick. Round number one, they're the 24th pick. I put another, they'd like to take tackles. That's how you build a team. I like any Mims out of Georgia, Amarius Mims.
Okay.
He's a boom bust kind of guy, but if he booms, he booms. He's one of the Zach Martin types. So who'd you have for their draft outlook? Do you have anybody?
They're at 24. Yep. And I think that if history tells us anything, same thing you said, tackle.
Yeah.
And Tyler Guyton, I think, is
another good one.
Another good one that they will, that all the smart money, at least, is what is going.
I've seen a lot of models. Yep. All right. So we'll go to the movie real quick. We talked about Tony Pollard. He's now a Titan. It's going to go and try to fill those big shoes that were left by Derrick Henry. They released Michael Gallup, who was a little bit of a boom and bust the last couple of years. They signed another boom and bust guy, Martavis Bryant from Pittsburgh. He's 32 years old, kind of ended his career. But he was a big playmaker once upon a time. One word to describe the upcoming season for the Dallas Cowboys.
So I said finale, and I think we're seeing Dak's last season. So here's the thing for me. Not a super ton of movement, I think, for Dallas, but we keep, like I said before, is hearing like Jerry Jones say just how they're all in.
Yeah.
But I don't think, I'm not seeing that based on what they have at their skill positions. And what is he really expecting Dak to deliver a Super Bowl with what they got right now? Even though I think they got something like, six selections in this draft?
Yeah, they have quite a few.
I mean, enough, but
I don't know.
You never really know how that's going to shake out. So
yeah.
I think, finale, I think this is.
Yeah, I put regression because I don't think they'll be 12-5 next year. I think they go backwards a little bit.
Yeah.
So still a playoff team, but not – they were in good shape this year to make a run, and they just couldn't, again, get to the playoffs and choke it away.
Yeah.
All right, schedule and projections for one Dallas Cowboys. Yeah, so we run through this schedule real quick.
All right.
Of course, the Giants twice, the Eagles twice, the Commanders twice. Then they're home. This is a very tough. This is a first-place schedule. It's a tough one. So home for Detroit, home for the Texans, home for the Ravens, home for the Bengals, home for the Saints, home for the Bucks.
That schedule's no joke.
That's a lot of playoff teams in one spot. And yeah, look at their away side, too. Away to the 49ers, NFC champs. Mm. Away to Pittsburgh, playoff team. Away to Cleveland, playoff team. Away to Atlanta, we think they'll be a playoff team. And then kind of a cake one in Carolina.
Yeah. That's a tough schedule.
That's a very tough schedule. There is no give up there. Washington's not going to be good. But other than that, and the Giants could be okay. So.
Yeah, I don't even.
And that's their rival anyway, so they're going to play them tough.
Maybe New Orleans?
Yeah, at home, they could get the Bucs. They can get New Orleans. They could maybe get Cincy. Baltimore's a handful. You never know. If you get the real Baltimore, no chance. Houston's going to be a lot to hold. Detroit, yeah, that could be, I don't know exactly when that game is yet because the full schedule's in it. But that's a tough one. And you have to, of course, go to Philly and Philly comes to you. That's a lot.
Oh, yeah.
All right, so projection. 10 wins, 11 wins, 12 wins, 9 wins. What do you think?
All right, let's see. Wins. All right. Let me get one of those. I'm going to say 9.
Yeah, I like 9. Nine or 10. Yeah, yeah, agreed. Okay, so on to the next team, number 2 in the NFC East, one Philadelphia's own Eagles, Big Dom's team, finished number 2 in the division. They were 11-6, had a historic collapse at the end of the year, which is why I came up with my one winner here. My one word for them was
1-2-3. Deflating.
Titanic. Oh. Because they sunk like the Titanic. They just gave up at the end of the year and down. We were even talking about what's going on in their locker room. It got so bad.
Yes.
Okay, best attribute for the Philadelphia Eagles.
Best attributes. I'm saying their wide receiver room is one of their best attributes in Philly. They have two of the best in the league. Two of the best to do it. A.J. Brown, Devontae Smith. They combined for over 2,500 yards, 187 targets. Both average just over 13 yards per catch. Both finished 17. TDs.
Yep.
For Smith, I like the contract extension. You know, the Eagles to be a really well-run organization, they tend to take care of business sooner rather than later. So I like this for him, getting him out of a good franchise. Dealt with it. Especially he's a core part of the team. So just locking that down right away, I like.
Me too. I put best attributes at offense and highlighted Jalen Hurts because, you know, he kind of the engine that makes that whole thing happen.
Yeah.
One of the top benefits in the league. Okay, worst attribute.
Yes. Worst attribute.
Yeah.
So I said just overall the defense.
Me too. Defense. Exactly what I put.
Defense on this team.
24th overall last year, averaging 25.2 opposing points per game. Giving up 25. That's a lot. Giving up 25 points a game. That's a lot.
This past season. So we watched the Eagles defense. They seem to just come apart at the seams, right?
That's what happened.
So just the biggest issue, I think, was up front. Mm-hmm. There were edge rushers who were the previous season breaking records, right? They were racking up sacks left and right. This season that we just left, by the last 8 games, they only had, I think, 4.5.
The Commanders put up 40 on them one game. That's Commanders.
The last 4 games of the season, 0 sacks.
Yeah.
So no pressure up front. And then, of course, rolls downhill, right? So that trickles down to what's happening in their secondary.
Yep.
So no pressure on the quarterback makes it harder for already aging, already struggling secondary.
Yeah.
Then my biggest drop-off for the Eagles. If you can believe it, weeks 1 through 10, they were number 1.
I remember they didn't lose.
The whole NFL
at
stopping the run. They were allowing like 60 yards a game.
Yep.
From beyond week 10 through the rest of the season, you know where they were? 31.
I believe it.
145 yards a game they were giving up. That is not only inexplicable, but just unacceptable. I don't know.
They were undefeated. They lost the game to the Jets where Jalen Hurts had a really bad game. Give all credit to the Jets. And they came in, they played really hard that game. And then they took a win. It was like 5 turnovers for the Eagles or something like that. After that, they did not look the same. I don't know what happened. But all right. So I'm agreeing with the defense. Where's that? What's their biggest need then?
They got to address the defense in this. They got to address the defense. They got to plug all those holes.
Secondary and linebacker because there's nobody huge there. But in the end, they'll probably draft an edge rusher because it's what they do. They have who turned out to be really well. He was in our preseason last year. One baby rhino, Jalen Carter.
Jalen Carter.
He's very, very good. They need to get him some help. He turned up big in a few games. A couple games he disappeared. But that's what happens when you get double teamed. Yeah. They need help. They'll definitely need help. So that'll lead us right into the draft outlook. They're the first round. They are 22nd overall. Who do you like there?
I would be shocked if they didn't take a defender off the board. And so they've expressed some interest in Cooper DeJean, the cornerback.
Yep.
I think, you know, the Eagles front office, I think they are known for being very savvy, very aggressive with this kind of thing. So I wouldn't be surprised, like I mentioned earlier, if they tried to trade up.
They definitely could.
And I think that it would be after the homegrown guy, Sacramento, Leatu Lau, edge rusher.
Yeah.
So
I also went edge rusher, a guy named Jared Verse. He was defensive end from Florida State. Very good. But yeah, I think they'll go edge. That's who they are.
So we'll see. Yeah. At 22.
Acquisitions and movements, two very good ones. It's been fun to watch. One, as he parties his life away, old Jason Kelsey's now retired after playing center for them for quite a while. And Fletcher Cox, the huge run stuff for a huge defensive lineman all those years, is now retired as well. All right. One word to describe the upcoming season for the Eagles.
Well, it has a hyphen in it. I said do-over. So I feel like the Eagles are a really, really good team. So just these critical points they can address and be successful relatively quickly again. Yep. So, and also on the movements and acquisitions, if you will. So they got a new coordinator, a new defensive coordinator.
They need it.
Away with you, Matt Patricia, who was calling the games towards the end of the season, which then explains a lot.
Absolutely terrible.
What's his name?
Vic Fangio. Yes. He's really good. He's been around for quite a while.
So I think that will definitely help turn the ball for him too.
I put my one word to describe this season was shoot out. The offense is loaded, like you said. Jalen Hurts, Saquon Barkley, who didn't cover a ton, is now an Eagle. Watch out for that.
You know what? So I'm on the fence with Saquon Barkley, though. I don't think that I don't think that it's going to be bad. That's not what I'm saying at all. But I don't think it's going to be drastically different than it was
with Swift.
So I think that it's going to have to be a show and prove thing.
He's an upgrade.
Saquon Barkley.
Barkley's an upgrade.
We'll see.
All right, let me finish up.
If
he stays healthy, you know. But last year was great for the Giants last year with not much help around him. So I'm a Barkley guy. And he's going home. He's a Penn State guy. So now he's going back to Pennsylvania and all that stuff.
You know what else I heard? It was only like over a couple $1 million. The Giants have got to be, you got to be kidding me.
Yeah, that was a crazy story.
I mean, that's like $2 to the rest of the world.
Now,
like,
especially when they're giving out $150 million contracts. What's $2 million?
What are you doing?
So Hurts, Barkley, Devonta Smith, A.J. Brown, Dallas Goedert, on and on and on. That offense will put up 40. Unfortunately, the defense will give up 40 as well. So it's going to be awfully close. Okay, so schedule and projections. We'll cover Philadelphia.
Yeah.
Same situation, of course. The Giants twice, the Cowboys twice, the Commanders twice. Home for Atlanta, Carolina, Cleveland, Green Bay, Jacksonville, and Pittsburgh.
Okay.
On the road for Baltimore, Cincinnati, the Rams, who's their out of conference, which is kind of weird, New Orleans, and Tampa Bay. What do we think for the Eagles? 10-win team?
At least.
Okay.
At least.
Division winner?
Let's see. Over Dallas, I think they get the division this. I think they have a softer schedule than Dallas does.
So I think they get the Commanders. They can get both those games. They should definitely get one from the Giants. At least they should get home from Dallas.
Atlanta,
Carolina, they'll get. Cleveland, they'll probably get. Jacksonville, they'll probably get. Yeah, so there's at least 10 wins there.
At least.
I like them to win that division as well. I'm saying this now. You want to, if it stays healthy, you want to be part of that offense fantasy-wise.
Yeah.
They will put up points. A.J. Brown kind of fell off last year. I don't know what happened with his head, but if he's back to being the A.J. Brown that we know.
Well, hopefully all of the dirty laundry comes flowing out of that locker room and what was really going on. I bet it's something.
Whatever happened there. Okay, on to the number three finisher, the New York Giants. They were 6-11. One word to describe this past season for the New York Giants.
Abysmal. Everything that could go wrong for the Giants did.
I put dimes. Danny only played in six games last season, and it's now time to prove he's worth that $140 million contract they gave him.
Oh, man.
It's got to do it now. It's now or never.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
All right. Best attribute for New York Giants?
Best attribute. Linebacker, Kayvon Thibodeau.
Oh, that boy is no joke.
Yes. Drafted number 5 overall, 2022. He is getting better and better. The bright spot on the defense, 11 sacks, 3 forced fumbles over the finish this season.
Defense will be very good. Yeah. I'll say that now. If you want to draft a defense that you can probably steal, that's it. That defense will be good.
Because they drafted another, or they traded for.
And I put a Brian Daboll, their coach, he's put something together. They were pretty bad for a couple years. He's put together a good thing. All right, so the worst attribute for them.
So the worst attribute, unlike their division rival, their O-line has been absolutely terrible.
Their whole offense, other than Saquon's.
So they allowed a whopping 80 85 sacks.
That's a lot.
85. That's the second most in the history of the league. That was the most in the league for this past season, but the second most in the history of the whole NFL in the season. 85.
Craziness.
So, and the other thing with that, not to place everything on the O-line, but there was also a stat that I found that was by Fantasy Life, mm-hmm. so indicating just how long the poor quarterback play, basically, and how long they're holding on to the ball.
Yeah.
So, and they did it in terms of scrambling, basically becoming a converting into a sack, basically, when you're running.
Well, you had that young guy out there, the Sopranos character, for a few games.
Yes,
you had
some out in the league. They were both, guess who was number one and two for the for pressures converting to sacks? One and two. Tommy DeVito.
Yeah, of course.
37% of the time, the pressures convert to a sack. Who's number two? Daniel Jones.
There you go. So
in that six games, 32% of the time.
Yeah.
They can't. So, there you go. But yeah, I think that's going to be their worst.
For me, they have no big playmaker. The receiving core now exists with Darius Slayton. Wandell Robinson, who you and I like. He's the rookie kid, Wandell Robinson. We'll see. But needs help
and
there.
And Devin Singletary. And added him.
They don't have much. What's the biggest need then for the New York Giants? Offensive line?
So I said needs all over the place, offensive line, but now, like we were just saying, the skill positions with their best offensive players now suiting up for the Eagles.
Yeah.
Like I said, they're left with Darius Slayton and Devin Singletary.
What a mess.
Yeah, they got stuff all over.
Draft outlook, they got a good pick. First round, pick number six.
Mm-hmm. They got six. I expect them to go after Joe Alt.
Joe Alt's a good one. I had Malik Nabers on here. He's the number one wide receiver, a very good wide receiver at LSU, but I'm not so sure about that.
Yeah.
So
I mean, Joe Alt was only four sacks allowed over his entire college career, and what was the highest rated in the country, I think.
He's an outstanding lineman. Wherever he goes, he'll have a good career if he stays healthy.
There's that, and then, like you said, they traded for the other.
I'll get to that.
So
we'll get into the acquisition moves right now. So far, we just talked about Saquon. He's now gone to their division rival. The guy we're talking about is a guy named Brian Burns from Carolina. They traded for it.
Yes.
So he was one of those franchise guys. Burns was for Carolina. He was their stud defensive end linebacker. They traded to Carolina for a 2024 second and fifth and a 2025 conditional fifth. Mm-hmm. Burns signed a $150 million deal for 5 years with the Giants. Could have given some of that money to Saquon. If you didn't know why Burns was drafted by Carolina in the first round of the 2019 draft, if you don't know who he is, he played at Florida State, made the Pro Bowl in 21 and 22. These numbers are amazing. He had 246 tackles in his time in Carolina, 46 sacks, 8 forced fumbles, an INT, 1 touchdown. He will help the middle of the pack, upper middle of the pack defense get that much better. That's going to be a good defense.
Yeah.
They're going after, and they're going to need to, too. I mean, with Dallas and Philly in your division, you have to be able to get up the quarterback, and those guys can do it.
What were they thinking? Okay.
Yeah. So one word to describe the season for the Giants.
I said tough, though, still. I feel like it's going to be one of the most difficult, resets or rebuilds in the league, especially, with in the skill positions for them. It just seems like they're working with so little on the offensive side of the ball. There's the talk of Darren Waller retiring. He doesn't know what he's going to do yet.
Yeah.
So, I don't know. We'll see what the draft brings them. They've got how many picks? A total of six, I think. And that then three are in the top 75. So, you know.
They can definitely build
some bright spots there.
I put surprising as the one where it describes season coming because I think that defense will surprise people. Offense, I have no idea.
Yeah,
I have no idea what's going to happen there. We'll watch Daniel Jones if he's worth any of that money. If he starts off slow, I think it's going to be a good idea. I would not draft Daniel Jones.
We talk a lot too about poor Daniel Jones and the money that he got, but he had a really good
year to get the money.
He earned it, right?
Well, I don't know if he earned all the money, but he got the contract. Yeah. His agent,
understandable why they went that way.
This is young guy, it's your future. Let's lock him up. No, I totally get it. All right, so schedule and projections for the Giants again. Eagles twice, Cowboys twice, Commanders twice. Then they're home for New Orleans, Tampa, Baltimore, Cincy, Minnesota, and Indy. There's a lot of winnable games in there. So they should be in some of those games. They should be in the New Orleans game. They should be in the Tampa game.
They're probably not going to be in the Tampa game.
Okay. Will not be in the Baltimore game. Cincinnati, if it's normal Cincinnati.
Maybe Minnesota.
Minnesota, Indy. Indy's a question mark about what happens there.
We don't know what's with Richardson.
Travels to Seattle, which is always a tough place to play. They go to Atlanta, who I think is going to be good. Carolina's not going to be so great. Cleveland's a mystery. Their defense took a tiny step back. That was the number one defense in football last year. They took a tiny step back. Pittsburgh's going to be a good team. So I could see another 6 or 7 win
I was going to say seven.
Yeah, six or seven win season. But it could be, they could surprise some people. You know, there are pieces. And the draft's big for them. The draft is really big for them. So, all right. So that finishes up the Giants. We go to the bottom dweller, number four in the division. Lovely 4-13. The Washington D.C.'s own the Commanders. One word to describe this past season for the Commanders.
Oh, man. I think just cooked. It was like almost over before it even started, I think.
But awful. It was awful. It was awful to watch.
Yeah.
Other than that one game against Philly where they put their hearts totally into it, it was a tough year for the old Commanders. Rough. Best attribute of the Commanders.
The best attribute for the Commanders, I put the salary cap. They got $62 million that they're working with. They have the most to play with there. So
I put the only way is up. They're the second worst team in the NFL. So.
And you know what? And they do have, I think, solid wide receivers in
Terry McLaurin
and Jameson Crowder.
And who's the other guy?
Jahan
Dotson. That's what I was thinking of. Yeah.
Yeah.
So they do have, there are pieces there.
Yes.
They need a quarterback. And I think if my projections, that's what they'll do. And there's a couple ones. There's a couple of good ones.
The world's their oyster. They're picking at number two.
Yeah. And everybody knows what number one's going to be. So after that, it's wide open.
Caleb.
Yeah.
Everything else will be available. Everything's on the table.
And I think they could turn out better. I don't know if Caleb's going to be what they think the Bears think he's going to. Who knows? I could be wrong. But I mean, they have Drake May. They have Jalen. They have Penix. They have Bo Nick. They have so many. They could pick whoever they wanted. They can start from whoever they think. Okay. Right. So worst attribute.
Worst. So I said this team, they have a lot of baggage. I think they're still kind of crawling out from under what was like scandal and just a poorly run organization for a really long time.
Yeah, all the harassment
and
stuff.
But for what is, they were under, that whole workplace harassment thing, which somehow resulted in one John Gruden getting fired, who was then the coach of the Raiders, who had nothing to do with the investigation. So
crazy.
Very, very weird. But at any rate, I think they seem to now have a front office and leadership kind of committed to turning things around for them. So, and I like the moves they've been making to do that.
Yeah.
So I think that one little thing is, well, not little thing, but that's the worst attribute. Like
Team management. I put the same thing. But I see what they did, and I'll get into it in just a second in the next one. So team management, just the pieces were not correct. So this kind of rolls into my next one, which is the biggest need, which for me is now going to be their defense. So you draft Chase Young a few years ago. He's gone. Spent a little bit of time in San Francisco and played okay-ish, and now he's gone from New Orleans. And then Montez Sweat is fantastic, and he'll be a big part of that Bears rebuild defense.
Okay.
So you have to fill those holes, though. Those guys are high draft picks. Yeah. There is a little bit of stuff on the offense, but their defense is going to need
to they need a franchise quarterback, just like you said. I mean, they're about to get one. Well, hopefully. We'll see.
Yeah. So, draft outlook, we talked about this one a little bit. Round one, pick number two. I think we both like Jaden Daniels. Is that correct? LSU to go there, number two.
Yeah. Enter Jaden Daniels, even though there was some grumblings about him not wanting to play there. But
Was a story that came out in the news. I saw it, as you did, that said that he didn't have the greatest visit in the world. But however, they say things have been smoothed over since then.
Okay.
We'll find out in mere hours. we will know.
What else are they going to say? Oh, it continues to be terrible.
But that wouldn't be the worst place. As a franchise.
I don't think so either.
As a franchise, they have a proud history. They have Super Bowl. There and stuff. I mean, not so much as the Commanders, but as the Redskins, they won stuff and did things and stuff. So it wouldn't be the worst place to end up. If I was a rookie quarterback coming out, I wouldn't be totally anti there. But who knows?
I like what they're doing, especially as we go into the acquisition and movements. I like what they're doing. Yeah. Austin Eckler.
Yeah. Well, about to get there.
Yeah, go ahead. Yeah.
Let's get to there. Okay, so acquisitions and movements so far. So they traded Sam Howell to Seattle. He's gone. He was a mid-round pick anyway, and he was just kind of filling in a gap where they needed someone. They acquired.
Didn't do bad.
He didn't do so bad. No, his numbers, I have it here somewhere. Yeah. Almost 4,000 yards passing, 21 TDs and 21 INTs.
Yeah.
So he did what he did. He filled in there, and they were competitive in a few games. So he's gone, but he's in Seattle. He's going to back up Geno, it sounds like. So they acquired, you just said it, Austin Eckler from Los Angeles. Eckler, he's only 28 years old. Last year, his numbers were 628 yards rushing, 436 yards receiving, 6 total touchdowns, but he was hurt.
Down year for him.
Yeah, down year
for him. I'm expecting a bounce back year.
Still almost, 1,050 yards combined and 6 touchdowns? Not so bad. Right. So he'll be just fine. They signed the old man, Bobby Wagner, the last of the Legion of the Boom, still floating around from Seattle.
Okay.
So he can hop in there and help me build defense. And That's really all I got for that.
So they got Zach Ertz.
No. Zach Ertz. I'm sorry. They had Zach Ertz as well. He came over.
Which I think he moved off. I think the Cardinals justifiably moved off of Zach Ertz.
Well, yeah,
they got Trey McBride over there now. So they also, like we said, they got the center from the Dallas Cowboys, who is part of a very elite offensive line. So, I mean, I like what they're doing there. And if you think about it, they have gotten – oh, and then Marcus Mariota is the backup.
I saw
there,
that.
Right?
Yeah, no chance
all
for him.
Solid – capable, experienced players to support one Jaden Daniels, who or whatever rookie quarterback that they, because they're going to have their pick of the litter of all those quarterbacks. And I think they are definite. I think they made the right moves in setting up a support system around a new guy.
I like the veterans they brought in, guys who know the league, played in the league, been in for a while. I like the young people they brought in. They're starting to rebuild. I've put one word to describe the season is up. It's the only place they can go. Is go
I said
up.
Promising.
Yeah, it's up. Promising, so what else can they do? Go up. So, all right, schedule and projections for our friends. The Commanders, two games against the Giants, two games against the Cowboys, two games against the Eagles. Then they are home for Atlanta, tough one. Home for Carolina, they should be in that game, no matter who their quarterback is. Home for Cleveland. We're not exactly sure what Cleveland's going to look like yet, but if it's Deshaun Watson and all their normal players, it's a tough game for them. Pittsburgh home be a tough one. Pittsburgh's a decent team. Tennessee's rebuilding, so they should be in that game.
Yeah.
Chicago, question mark, could be a good offense. They definitely have pieces there now, so... They're away to New Orleans. That's a game they could be in. Away to Tampa, that's a tough one. Away to Baltimore, tough one. An Arizona game they could be in. And away to Cincinnati's a tough one. I see them as a 6-win team.
Maybe, yeah, maybe I think that it'll be a race to the bottom between the New York Giants and basically for this one. So, yeah, they'll be about the same.
Okay, so next up, it's back for the AFC. We go back over to the AFC and we talk about the AFC North, which is a very good division. It's the Ravens, Steelers, Browns, and Bengals. Mm-hmm. We'll talk about them in a couple weeks. Alrighty, guys. I think that will do it for this week. Please do come back and hang out with us again next week. I think we're pretty good at this thing now.
We are getting great at this thing.
Oh,
it is draft night.
Draft day. Everyone enjoy the draft. Enjoy. It's one of the best parts. Means the season is a coming. Where you can find us: Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Amazon Music, YouTube, Google Podcast, and iHeartRadio. Remember to like, follow, rate, review on any of these platforms. Those reviews are important to us. Not only will they help us get better, but the more you guys rate and review, the faster we move up the charts, and we want that. Don't forget to follow us on Instagram at the Air It Out Network. You can support this podcast in the link in the show description. Thanks again for listening, and all the support means a lot to us.
Right.
Signing off.
Come
this
back.
Is the Air It Out Fantasy
so I can
Football Podcast.
Brag when all of my picks are 100% correct on the draft.
And we'll break down the draft. Talk to you guys next time. Bye.
Bye. This podcast is written, produced, and recorded by me, Chantel Brown, and Joe Bishop as a part of the Air It Out Podcast Network.